You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. This is the end of the Supreme Court season, if you will. I was looking for the right word. They announced a number of decisions today and probably tomorrow as well. And we had one that depends how you interpret it, but I think a clear victory for President Trump, because the Supreme Court, in a unanimous 9-0 decision, restored most, not all, but most of the travel ban that the president put in place. And remember, that was only for six countries. And six countries where there's serious terrorism going on, namely Libya, Sudan, Somalia, Syria, Iran, and Yemen. Now, the only exception was if the person coming to the United States, and I'll use this phrase, had bona fide relationship with a legal U.S. resident. What are we talking about there? Well, there are people that come to the United States to go to school, for example, or already have relatives there, could be sponsored, and have a legitimate reason. But also, and this goes back to the first executive order that unfortunately wasn't as carefully drafted as it could be, that barred even people with green cards, permanent legal residence cards, from getting back in. Well, that was cleared up in the second round. People that have that are permanent legal residents clearly can get in. People that have a legitimate work authorization, work permit, and employment authorization document can get in, as well as people that are legitimately coming to the United States to see relatives, friends, as well as to go to school, or for that matter, business. So I think this is a victory, and it is limited. And remember, the ban is 90 days it's a 90-day ban and 120 for refugees. So it's a temporary ban. Even now, it's a temporary ban. And the Supreme Court agreed to hear the constitutionality, the appeal, in the fall. So this is a clear victory for the president, and the large majority of the justices approved of it. And that doesn't surprise me, because in past the Supreme Court, the president has certain executive powers, and it's clear that precedent is on the president's side. He has the power to do this by law, and I think he will win in the fall. So that's good news, very good news for President Trump. I think characterizing as a victory is appropriate. However, it won't be finalized until the court first hears the appeal in the fall. And I don't think they're going to wait that long, a couple of weeks, but they'll announce their decision fairly quickly. So this is a temporary stay that I think will be made a permanent stay. And the reason is simple. No matter what the lower court says, the Supreme Court decision is still the laws of the land, and there's ample precedent supporting the president. Now, there's a number of decisions, and I'm not going to make this show entirely about Supreme Court decisions. And the reason is very clear. The American people are interested in what? The economy, jobs, whether their wages or income are going up. Yes, they're concerned about national security, and very much concerned about the continuing invasion of this country by illegal aliens. They are not, most people simply are not on the edge of their seats waiting for Supreme Court decisions, even though some of them are monumental decisions. Not these, though. The second Supreme Court decision, now this wasn't 9-0, this was 7-2, concerned a church asked for funding, state funds to fund playground equipment. It was denied but quickly reversed by the governor. But now the Supreme Court ruled in that decision that religious schools can get funding for at least, and this is a very narrow decision, for playground equipment. Is it important? It's obviously important to that church. Question is, how much is that going to be expanded to? If they can get, it's like give an inch, take a mile. If they can apply for and did for state funds for this, where are those lines? And that will require more cases and more the willingness upon the Supreme Court to hear the case. Remember, they don't necessarily take every case. A matter of fact, the overwhelming majority of cases they never hear. It's only the few cases that they're interested in that they do hear, and you need to keep that in mind. So there'll be more news definitely tomorrow, and then we'll wait to the fall, or I probably guess sometime in November when we get a final decision on this. But it's a clear win for the president, and I think what the president is doing is fully justified. I don't want people coming from, for example, Iran is the leading sponsor of state terrorism in the world. I want anyone coming from that country to be fully and completely vetted. I don't want Iranian terrorists coming into my country. I don't care if they're Shia or Sunni terrorists, and certainly not from Syria, where the Islamic State is operating. In Yemen, you have rebels backed by Iran, and the United States military has been engaged in suppressing that. Remember the Special Forces sergeant that got killed there in a raid. And the same goes with Libya, Sudan, and Somalia. It's more than past time that the United States vet, to use Donald Trump's phrase, President Trump's phrase, extremely vet people coming from these countries. We need to gain control of our borders, our sovereignty, and make sure that we're not creating a problem that Europe has today with mass migrations of millions fleeing their countries, mainly because they're in civil war. That includes Syria, Iraq, and Libya, and failed states, Somalia, Sudan. We want to secure our nation, and that is a priority of the American people. However, keep in mind that it is corporate America, largely what I call the donor class, that wants cheap, compliant labor, and because of that, wants open borders. They're the ones that are pushing this. And they give money to both political parties to push that agenda. And what the Democratic Party makes no bones about it, they want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here and continue an open border policy so more illegal aliens can flood into the country. Well, the American people don't want that. Poll after poll shows that. While the American people want limited legal immigration into the country, they do not like illegal immigration. And that's why, as far as I'm concerned, Donald Trump is president today, is because he was the only candidate that had a clear message that he was going to stop it. Now, that remains to be seen whether he will. He did promise to build a wall. Well, I've heard that before from Republicans and Democrats. It just never seems to get done. But that's only to stop the flood of illegals into this country. We still have a mess, and it is a mess, of 30 to 60 million. No one knows the exact number. It's not 10 or 11 million, though, of illegal aliens that are already here. And they're placing a great burden on communities across the United States in terms of providing education, school, for the children of illegal aliens, together with welfare and an extreme burden on community hospitals. They go to the emergency rooms. They have to be treated by law. And who pays for it? Well, you and I pay for it. And it's the federal government's responsibility to enforce immigration law. And they haven't been doing it vigorously, really, for over 15 years. Because both political parties, first of all, they want those large campaign contributions. That's what's in it for both parties. And what the Democratic Party wants to do is replace place, it's shrinking voter base, and it is shrinking. Both political parties are losing members in the sense that fewer and fewer and fewer people are registering as either Democrats or Republicans. They've had it up to here with both political parties. Now, I emphasize, I don't think anything is going to change in this country until you truly have another party that's competitive, in other words, wins elections, that believes in the Constitution, believes in limited government, believes in controlling the borders, and means it. And what do I mean by mean it? Let me give you another example unrelated to immigration. Last week, we heard a lot in the news of the Republicans in the Senate trying to push a bill, a draft legislation, that supposedly was going to repeal Obamacare. It does repeal many aspects of Obamacare. The ones you hear is there won't be a tax penalty, and you're not forced to buy it. But what you're not really hearing about are all the subsidies that will actually continue and grow. That's not what the American people thought repeal was about. When I hear the word repeal, it means cancel the entire Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. They're not doing it. In other words, they've lied to you. And that's how I'm viewing it, and many millions of voters are viewing it. They said they were going to repeal it, and they're not doing it. They had vote after vote saying they were going to repeal it, and now, lo and behold, they control the House and the Senate, and they're perpetuating federal regulation of health insurance. That alone is not good, but then compounding it with more and more funding. And now you're hearing more and more in the news. Well, it's going to increase, if the Republican bill goes through, it's going to increase the number of people that are not insured. Now, let me go through a little exercise. This was in the early days when they were considering Obamacare. You've heard the number. There are 45 million people in the United States that don't have health insurance. Well, it turns out about 15 million of those are illegal aliens. Surprise! We're supposed to pay for their health insurance? The American people say, no, we're not going to pay for their health insurance. We want them to please go home. We didn't invite them. Now, of the remaining 30 million, and the number does increase and decrease depending on how the economy is going. There are about 10 million of those 30 million uninsured that had the money to buy it. Yes, had the money and chose not to buy it. That's 10 million people. And they won't buy it. And it's usually young people, single young people, because they are willing to risk, and it is a risk, but a small one, that they won't need a health plan, for example, a catastrophic health plan. So they chose not to buy it. I have no sympathy for them. That's their choice. You had another 10 to 15 million, and that number is very sensitive to what the economy is doing, that were unemployed. They were between jobs. Most people get their health insurance through their employer. So once those people get employment, they usually get insurance. Not 100%, but mostly they do. And obviously, if you're in the middle of a deep recession, it's going to take those people longer to get that job. They're highly motivated to get the job because they need the money to put food on the table and have a roof over their head, as well as to get health insurance. Then you have another roughly 10 million, 11 million. Who are they? I call them the truly needy. They're the indigent. They're poor. But the poor already have a program. It's called Medicaid. I have no sympathy for someone that's poor, needs medical attention, and doesn't want to fill out the paperwork to qualify for Medicaid. Now, I'm not saying Medicaid is the best thing out there. It isn't. But beggars can't be choosers, and that's what we're talking about here. And one of the biggest expenses of the state, because it's jointly funded by the federal government and the state, is Medicaid. In some states, it's bankrupting the states. And what did Obama do? He expanded it. Who could qualify? And apparently the Republicans are going to continue this for a while. Apparently neither political party has gotten the memo. And what's the memo? The United States is spending too much money. It's living beyond the means of the American people. And you see that, and you can get the details of that. Go to the monthly Treasury statement of the United States Treasury Department. It comes out every month. And you'll see what the deficit is. There's a lot of numbers there. But the big summary aggregate number is the U.S. budget in surplus or deficit. It's been in deficit. And we're only a few months away from the end of the fiscal year, 30 September, about less than 100 days. And usually by mid-October, late October, we'll know what the deficit is. It's somewhere between $500 billion and $600 billion. And it's heading right back up to over $1 trillion, which is $1,000 billion. When you're in that situation, it is financially irresponsible to expand and continue these subsidies. The American people don't want it. Now, the political class, the career politicians that have been in office, many of them for decades, 20, 30 or more years, their number one priority is get reelected, and to get reelected, they need campaign contributions. If you want to know why are they going against the concerns and wishes of the American people, it's not hard to understand. We have career politicians of both parties that their primary concern is getting reelected, which means they have to be asking for campaign contributions all the time. That's the majority of the time. That's what they're spending their time on. Now, obviously, if you're in a leadership role, House Speaker, Majority Leader, Minority Leader, Chairman of some key committees, you're going to get the campaign contributions. You see, they're more concerned about corporate America, the companies that give them money, than the American people. They're not interested in the general welfare of this country. Because if they were, they should have surpluses, if not balanced budgets. And keep in mind, as you run these big deficits, what happens? The debt continues to go up, up, and up, which means interest to pay the debt goes up, up, and up. And as you add entitlement programs, what happens there? You have unfunded liabilities. The national debt is approximately $20 trillion. That's $20,000 billion. $20,000 billion. Now, that's a big number. Most people cannot comprehend that much money. There are only a handful of the various wealthiest people in the United States that are billionaires. There's not that many. Donald Trump is one of them. But the national debt is the tip of the iceberg. The bigger number by far is unfunded liabilities for two major programs, namely Social Security and Medicare, that are running deficits. The unfunded liabilities are over $200 trillion. Not $20 trillion, $200 trillion, actually higher. In other words, we don't have the money to pay the benefits in future years. So what's going to have to happen? Oh, they're going to have to either cut benefits or dramatically increase taxes. They'll wait to the last minute when they have fewer and fewer alternatives to do this. The whole thing blows up sometime between now and 2040. No one knows when, but it'll happen quickly, and that's going to be a very turbulent time. And then the people will be marching on Washington. You need to have a long-term perspective. And these politicians do in terms of their career, but they are not financially responsible. It doesn't matter whether Democrats or Republicans. Both parties are guilty of this. That's why I say there's no hope and no change unless there's a new political party. Because the Republicans, let's assume that they pass something. They're under the gun to pass repeal and replace. I don't think it's going to happen for the simple reason there are some senators and there are some people in the House that have integrity, and know that what the Republican Party is trying to do is not repeal. And it's not. It is not repeal. Now, the Democrats are in denial. Now, Trump made, I thought, a wise political statement. There are many people that have advised him, let Obamacare really fail. Don't do anything until 2018, after 2018. And then the Democrats will come begging to do something about it. Now, why is it failing? It was designed to fail because the Democratic Party, as well as many in the Republican Party, want single payer. They think that's the answer. It's not the answer. We already have Medicare, and that's health benefits for who? The elderly, people 65 or older. It's running and has run huge deficits. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is accountability. There is no accountability. Unlike other goods and services, when you go to a doctor's office or a hospital, they don't have a price list. Many of them couldn't tell you in hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, how much a procedure cost. You need accountability. You need competition. And consumers of healthcare, you and me, as long as someone is paying for it, and that's more than half of health insurance is paid by the government, you get the situation we have now. People are not shopping. See, I'm all in favor of health savings accounts to encourage people to save, to pay their medical bills, and all in favor of a catastrophic care to pay for the large expenses. The answer is in the private sector with competition. The answer is not a government monopoly where the monopoly is in the financing of that healthcare. You know, there's many doctors that are so fed up with this that you have new business models developing. They're fed up with the paperwork from the insurance companies as well as the government. And for so much a month, they'll treat you. We need innovative approaches. And what you're hearing about, well, we have to keep pre-existing conditions. Excuse me. That's why Obamacare is failing. We have so-called community ratings where if you're a certain age, everyone pays the same price for the insurance. Now, we're talking individual insurance here, and let me emphasize this because this confuses a lot of people. Group insurance, you have a larger pool. It's based on the size of your company or business that you're working for. It's pooling a risk. The real problem is in the individual market, which until Obamacare was medically underwritten. In other words, they would ask you medical questions, and if you did have a pre-existing condition, such as you've had a heart attack, cancer, stroke, there's a list, you weren't going to get the coverage because the pool is too small. It's you. So what states did, including Texas, is have a fund set aside. It's a subsidy, folks, for people that are in that situation to buy insurance, and it's more expensive, but it's still subsidized. That's the way to handle pre-existing conditions. Not continuing these subsidies and not saying forcing the insurance companies to take everybody. That's not the answer. We need to get back to insurance and not mix insurance with government subsidies. And that is the core problem. So I'm not optimistic that the Republican Party is truly going to repeal Obamacare. And I hope they fail, whether it's the House bill or the Senate bill. And I don't like either one of them. It's not truly repeal. I want to get back to the system prior to Obamacare. And I get back to the numbers. See, they're already doing it on news stories with how many people are uninsured. Well, break it down. How many of those can afford it and don't buy it? That's a large fraction. How many are between jobs? That's a large fraction. Those two groups together are roughly two-thirds, maybe higher than that. And then you have the truly needy that already have a program called Medicaid. And you need to get back to what it was before Obama expanded it. Now, why am I talking about immigration and health care? Well, generally, the U.S. consumer is optimistic. Consumer confidence, the University of Michigan puts out an index, has been going up, up, and up. Now, those numbers bounce around, but the general trend is up, up, and up, highest in 10 years. Now, there's differences of opinion. The so-called people that have not had a college education and the elderly are optimistic. Those that have a college education and are younger are not optimistic. That will continue and continue rising as long as two things happen. One is Trump has to pass a tax bill, a tax reduction bill, and he needs to do it in a timely manner. Namely, the sooner the better, preferably before Independence Day. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. And I'm getting more and more skeptical as whether or not they're going to have it done by the end of the year. And I'm concerned with what the House wants with their border adjustment tax, which I think is a terrible idea. Consumer confidence will remain high as long as the Trump promise to reduce taxes happens. If that doesn't happen, all bets are off. Secondly, and I would think in some ways, although this isn't a matter of opinion, a true repeal of Obamacare is essential. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. You need both of them. if Trump would show leadership, and he's trying, but I think he has the wrong answer, especially in the repeal. He hasn't really got the message. There are senators that understand it. Rand Paul is the one that really stands out. But there are also House members of the Freedom Caucus that understand it. What the American people are expecting are declines in premiums. Getting rid of community rating and going back to the way it used to be, medically underwritten, would do that. But as long as you still have enforcing by regulation insurance companies to accept pre-existing conditions, it's not going to work. That's going to continue that trend. And then if it should pass, they'll blame it on the Republicans. You see, my suspicion is Donald Trump, because he really is a liberal Democrat from New York City, and he has in the past made statements that he likes single payer. Apparently, Donald Trump has trouble looking at numbers, which I doubt, but he better look at the numbers of the national debt and unfunded liabilities and cut this nonsense out. We don't have time to add more and more entitlement. That's not the right way to go. It means repealing in its entirety Obamacare. We're looking for leadership, and as far as the repeal and replace of Obamacare, he's very active, but what is he supporting? Something that will continue Obamacare subsidies. In other words, Obamacare Lite. But that'll be renamed real quickly to Trump Care, and the demagogues will come out. And should that happen, I think consumer confidence is going to take a hit, will plummet. So it's absolutely essential that the tax cuts be implemented as soon as possible, as well as the complete repeal of Obamacare. And if Donald Trump can't deliver, then he's going to have trouble getting reelected in 2020, and a lot of Republicans are going to find out, especially in the House and those that are up for reelection, that their failure to truly repeal in its entirety Obamacare will lead to their defeat. You see, Obama damaged the Democratic Party, and it looks like Trump, if he doesn't deliver on tax reform and repeal, will damage severely the Republican Party. And as far as I'm concerned, that's terrific, because until we have a party that truly believes in limited government and will cut spending and cut taxes, we're not going to have any hope or change in terms of improvement in our economic situation. We can't continue to run year in, year out, huge deficits. Eventually, the word is they're unsustainable. You better believe they're unsustainable. We're heading to a huge crash if those two things are not accomplished by Donald Trump as soon as possible. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.